Technorama Network Show for episode 304, April 18, 2011. Craig is correct.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where can I have fun with all my online friends in 140 characters or less?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew. Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the network show for April 18, 2011. This is the companion podcast to Technorama with all of your email, voicemail, social network comments. If you're new to Technorama, there is another major piece of this, so you may want to go back a show or two and have a listen. Otherwise, have a seat and give us a listen. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great. Hey, boys and girls.
Boys like and girls, you do realize some of our listeners, well, you know, everybody's a boy or a girl, right? Sons
right.
and daughters.
I hope.
You have to
actually,
be.
You know, actually, you know what made me think of is the other day, you know, I love my son, but sometimes on the weekends in the early morning, you know, when I just get up, he reminds me of, you've seen UHF, right?
Yes.
Remember when Stanley Spadowski was kidnapped and he's in there, all right, let's play, I spy something orange. You know, and it's just, you're like, shut up. And the guy reaches for his gun. That's how I feel sometimes. Just talking my ear off about Pokemon early in the Sunday morning, or I'm like,
Harrison was doing that.
He always does that. You know, I wake up in it with a good disposition every morning, but for Pete's sake, let me have some coffee before I start talking Pokemon. Stanley. I was going to rename him Stanley.
Stanley.
Shut up! I love him. Yeah.
We have some voicemail.
Wait a minute. I smell something blue. Sorry, Quinn.
That's frightening. We have voicemail from our very own T. Morris regarding mm-hmm. the carousel. I think we mentioned the Disney carousel a while back.
Oh, yeah.
See what you got to say about this.
Hey, guys. It's T. Morris. And I know that I'll be probably talking to you guys again real soon. But I just wanted to call to find out from Craig how Create South went this year. I missed you guys, and it was a real bummer for me. But at the same time, I need you to step away from it because I'm focused on the book coming out. We'll talk about later, right? The other thing, too, guys, that I wanted to mention since I'm listening to Technorama getting caught up a bit, it was the Carousel of Progress, Craig. The Carousel of Progress. It was at Walt Disney World. It was sponsored by GE, and it had this goofy little song that segued you from the turn of the century to what was going to be, I guess, it actually stopped in a modern day house. But I remember as a kid watching that, going, "Wow, that was pretty cool," because you know I got to see how everything evolved, and of course I was a sucker for the stuff that RCA put in when they sponsored. Once upon a time, they were the sponsor of Space Mountain, which I hope never goes out of style because I loved Space Mountain. Of all the rides at Tomorrowland, that one was my favorite. And since they mothballed the Nautilus fleet for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, I'm just hoping that some of my favorite rides don't go the way of the Dodo there. But yeah, it was the Carousel of Progress. I don't know if they still have that there. But yeah, it was that was the name of the animatronic ride, Craig, that you were thinking of. That's it. Just wanted to call you guys, touch base, and say looking forward to Pip and myself coming on and chatting it up with you guys. Take it easy. And 101.
Magic missile. Well, you said RCA sponsored Space Mountain at one time. Who currently sponsors Space Mountain?
Disney. I don't know.
Probably somebody like Microsoft or IBM or somebody big like that.
Space Mountain sponsor. Maybe we can.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why you're asking?
It's a lot like this, riding around in the dark, scaring everybody. Needs to be rebooted once in a while.
Oh, it needs to be rebooted. Sorry.
Yeah, that happened to us both times we went on Space Mountain on two different trips.
Oh, FedEx, by the way, did for a while. Hey, RCA from 75 to 93, and FedEx sponsored it from 94 until 2004.
Now, who sponsors it today?
I guess no one.
Nobody? Uh-oh.
Let's see how their money's worth.
Welcome to FedEx Space Mountain. They have to keep slipping in a new space, but
probably sponsored by FedEx.
It used to be like this.
Welcome to RCA Space Mountain.
Then it became, yeah.
Welcome to FedEx Space Mountain.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Oh, see, sponsorless from 2005 to present.
Oh, the free agent.
Yeah.
So, next time anyway, I'm down there, should I bring a whole bunch of sticky posters and slap them up all over the place?
Yeah, sponsored by Technorama.
Unofficially, real fine print at the top, unofficially sponsored by Technorama.
Then the most common phrase heard on Space Mountain would be, what else Technorama?
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm going to go check it out.
I love that museum in the Swiss Alps. Or
right, the Swiss Science Museum. Great.
Oh.
We also have a voicemail from our own Mad Marv about backup plans.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Marv in Hawaii. Remember a few shows ago, we were all talking about backups again and doing offline and online backups to the cloud. So I was watching TechZilla the other day, and they were talking about Crash Plan and their unlimited, you know, cloud backup plan for $50 a year. I'm checking it out now. It looks like I can back up my external hard drive, about half a terabyte of it, for under that plan. I'm going to see if that is really real and if I can really upload everything. I figure it might take me until Dragon Con to upload the hard drive, but we'll see what happens. Okay, bye.
Actually, he was sounded like he was in a plane. I thought he was going to say, and I'm going to test my backup plan now by throwing this hard drive out the plane. See if I can do it.
He was in a blender. He was on a Will It Blend commercial. And an airplane happened to go overhead.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it sounded like a commercial. So I'm going to throw my hard drive out of this plane and see if I can do a restore.
So there's remotely. Only about an hour till the full moon is officially full. I'm looking out the window right now. Have you ever seen the man in the moon?
Have I ever seen him?
Yeah.
No.
You've never seen the... There's like three or four different ways that you can see a face in the moon.
Oh, well, sort of, I guess.
I found a new one that I was watching, what was it, The Universe the other week, and they were showing about, there's actually a rabbit, and there's a Norse, like, Norse god with a spear or something also. There's a few pictures in there. And I was looking at the images, and I spotted one that they didn't point out, and it looks like there's a dude wearing sunglasses. He looks like he's rocking out.
Well, I did see that. Remember that old movie that had the rocket went and hit him in the face? And
yes. That's what George Méliès' Journey to the Moon, or Voyage
yes,
to the Moon.
Yes, and I kept thinking that the moon kind of looked like Mel Brooks.
Yes, that film college class actually paid off right there.
All right, and moving on.
Moving on to the email. Hey, singers, get in here.
Here they come.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
The first one is from Yorga. We were talking about Euros the other night, and he mentioned we couldn't figure out what the partial fractions of Euros were called when he sent us that postcard. And he says,
yeah.
Hey, binary duo. I like that. It makes me feel like I should be running around in types. You got to slide down a fire pole, and magically you turn into the binary duo.
pull over, what is it, box head or whatever that was, hit the button.
He writes, he says, yes, Craig is right. Craig is correct. It is sense. I said, I think I send you a postcard the last three trips I made. Yeah. There's one from CERN. There's one from the French Alps. I got a few of them around here from him.
I still got mine. They're over here on the,
somewhere.
I got them on the little wall right here beside me.
I had them stuffed into the bottom of one of the Star Trek posters, but now I don't know where they went. I must have attempted to clean up something around here.
I have an idea.
Yes?
Wait. Yes, I do. I do have an idea. What if we got our listeners to send us cards?
Postcards?
Yeah.
What if we sent our listeners postcards?
Well, that would facilitate them giving us their address.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's think about that. Let's figure out what we want to do.
Let's finish his email. He says, first internet memories. I remember looking up information and talking to people on IRC. Where are the times where flashing text and marquees were cool? And pop-ups. They've been around as long as I can remember.
I like animated GIFs. New.
It's a flaming logo thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Burn all GIFs.
Quote of the day. Beep, 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 beep. Can you name that?
That was an Osborne.
It was his first home-built computer telling him the memory was faulty.
Oh, the postcode. That's funny. Hey, by the way, you know, I threw out the word Osborne in there, but I was watching a video. I think it's still on CNN right now. It was from the TED Talk. Actually, it would probably be on TED. If you go to the TED Talks, you can find it. It's Roger Ebert, and you know, he's been trying to find a good computer voice that he can use to communicate with people. And he was talking about how the internet's been indispensable to him to give him a voice to talk with other people because he can't speak anymore, you know, because of all the surgeries he's had and whatnot. Yep. So he was talking about all the computers he used to have. And, dude, he had almost everything you can think of, like the Deck Rainbow and all that stuff. I was like, wow, he's throwing all kinds of names. It was an interesting talk. The thing was, he had three other people up there, and they were all taking a turn reading his prepared speech, which was kind of neat. So,
well, they had to give him a Stephen Hawking translator thing. Julie and I were just talking about that today. We went to Best Buy because there was an ad thing that said, hey, Best Buy's going to have some iPad 2s. Mm-hmm. I said, great, I'll finally get one. We got there. They only had the 3G ones. I said, I really don't want 3G. Mm-hmm. It wasn't worth the $120 premium last time. I mean, I used it a few times. So they are taking reservations where you put $100 down, they give you a $100 gift card and a barcode and say, okay, it's reserved, because they just don't want anybody going up and say, hey, will you save me one?
Yeah, sure.
So there's kind of a deposit, if you will, on that. But of course, the card is redeemable towards the iPad. Mm-hmm. So I'm on a reservation and I don't know how, but somehow Julie and I got to talking about Stephen Hawking. And I said, do you know that voice he's got? He complained when he first heard it because it didn't have a British accent. And she said, she said, he's British? I said, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Professor
at
Cambridge. And I said, maybe they should change his voice now. That would be disturbing if you're listening to him. Yeah. There are many theories about black holes. And if you look closely enough,
yeah.
Suddenly it turns into a female British voice.
Yeah, I'd like to see him stand in for Doctor Who. Hey, well, the other cool thing was, and I've seen this before, was that Roger had reached out to this other company, and oddly enough, I think they were in Ireland, Scotland, something like that. Scottish. They were a Scottish company. And he had given them about 30 hours worth of his voice, you know, from the time on the TV show. And
oh, cool.
They were reconstructing, language for him so he can actually sound like himself. And sometimes the inflections sound a little funny, you know, because they're recorded pre-recorded words. But actually, it didn't sound bad at all. And I think he was on Oprah when he did that before. But now, you know what he's using? It's just Mac. It's just a Mac with, I forget the voice. Is it Andrew or something like that? It's just the regular voice that actually sounds pretty good. It's the one that sounds decent on the Mac. So that's what he's using. How about that?
That sounds cool. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear it. You said he's on one of the TED conferences?
Yeah, he was on a recent TED Talk, and they were hosting...
With his new voice?
Yeah, he played it during the thing. But he said they're sticking with the Andrew one until they can make make his own voice sound better.
That would be kind of creepy.
What, having his own voice?
Have your own voice coming out of the computer saying what you type or something.
Gee, like a podcast?
No, but see, we say this.
Yeah.
To hear the computer say in your voice something you didn't really say.
That's true. Yeah. And that's what I think his problem is with using a computerized voice was he's typing the stuff and it is his words, but it doesn't sound like him to himself.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of weird. I don't think much of it. I don't think much of it with Stephen Hawking. But then again, I haven't seen Stephen Hawking speak other than the computerized voice.
Yeah, because it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of words and typing, we have one more email from Bill Klump about space shuttles. He says, hi, guys. In show 301, you and Craig mentioned that Discovery was going to the Smithsonian after she's commissioned. I wonder if they're going to put her out at the hangar at Dulles where they have the Enterprise and Enola Gay. I think it has been cool having both orbiters flanking the aircraft that brought us the atomic age with the flight of August 6, 1945. As I write this, I am toasting the 30th anniversary of STS-001, flown by Columbia. And to make some in the audience feel their age, we are starting to roll up on the 50th anniversary of the flights of the Project Mercury program, most notably John Glenn and Friendship 7, which launched on February 20th, 1962. Love the show.
And by the way, the Enterprise, they're putting the Discovery there, and they're taking the Enterprise and sending it somewhere else. So they're actually moving it. They won't both be in the same spot. And I'm trying to remember where. I thought it was one of them's going to L.A., one of them's going to Texas, and one's going to Florida, I think. So
Smithsonian gets one. Mm-hmm. I thought they said Johnson didn't get one.
You know, I don't remember, but I do know they're moving the Enterprise, though.
You know, the stories just kind of went by on the news readers, and I didn't really grasp the details because, you know, you see the same thing four or five times. You go, we're not going to talk about that then. Everybody's got it. All right, that takes care of the show. Any final words?
Acrobat.
Oh, wait, we gotta let the singers go. Another letter from our listeners today. Bye. Bye. Thanks for stopping by. They were just waiting there over in the corner for us to let them go.
Yeah, they're all like, has he called us yet?
Are you ready to sing again, Gladys? All right, that takes care of the show. We appreciate your support. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call the listener line, 206-222-CHAT, like T did. You can drop us a message on Skype by adding Chuck Chat to your buddy list and leave a message there. Or what are some of the other ways? You know, I didn't even check. Nope, nothing new in the Skype answering machine today. Carrier pigeon always works if you can get them to fly this way. They don't get lost by all the radiation in the atmosphere these days. The email address, technorama@chuckchat.com. I think I already said that one. You can record a message and mail it there, like Mad Marv did. Or there's always Twitter and, you know, the other Skype stuff. We love to hear from you. All the details of that are on the website. You can also provide us a donation in the tip jar. John Noble, congratulations to him. He's a recent new addition to the monthly micropayment program. We appreciate that. Greatly helps offset the costs of hosting and, you know, web renewal, domain registration, all that stuff that websites have to put up with. We do too. We're not special in that way. We're just special in other ways.
We're special, all right.
Thanks to following people for their time and talent, keeping Technorama going during the week. Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content. Actually, Craig and I are joining in on that with some of the TV reviews. Don't forget, some of your favorite shows will be closely detailed and often spoiled on the website during the week. So if you're interested in that, go over to the website or subscribe to the RSS feed. Ustream keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday nights. Chat room provided by thinstack.net. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com, also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. Wow. Busy week behind us, busy week ahead of us.
Yes.
So, squeeze in some Technorama, and we appreciate it, and make sure you tell a friend, speak positively of us this time. Until next time, binary high five.
Ooh, 101. You two are a couple of geeks.